ladies and gentlemen. The story you are about to hear is true.
Dateline, Tucson, Arizona. Around 10:15 p.m., Thursday, July 25th, a 14- and 13-year-old accomplice driving a stolen car attempted an armed robbery. Officers responded to a call about a stolen vehicle in the area of South Oak Tree Drive and West Sauvignon in Midvale Park around 10:15 p.m. Thursday. Not long after that dispatch, 911 calls began coming in reporting gunshots in the same area. When officers arrived, they found a 14-year-old inside the stolen vehicle and declared him DRT, or dead, right there. Homicide detectives were called and told that one 911 caller, a 19-year-old, admitted to being involved in the shooting of the 14-year-old. The 19-year-old told police that he was walking home from work when he was confronted by two teens inside a vehicle. He said that the vehicle's passenger got out and robbed him at gunpoint. The victim told police he complied with the demands, but during the confrontation he was able to draw his own firearm and fired toward the robbers. Police said the robbers fled, and the victim immediately reported the shooting. Police later learned that a 13-year-old boy had arrived at a local hospital with a gunshot wound. He was identified as the second suspect involved in the armed robbery. Once medically cleared, the 13-year-old was arrested on suspicion of armed robbery, aggravated robbery, and first-degree felony murder, and is being held at the Pima County Juvenile Detention Center. The victim is not facing charges. This has been the Defensive Gun Use, or DGU, Files.
The story you have just heard was true.
America Armed and Free is a paid program on KVOI, wholly owned by Charles Heller, produced, engineered, paid for, and hosted by him. Any opinions are his, not necessarily the station's.
I, Harry S. Truman, President of the United States, dedicate this day of Sunday to America Armed and Free.
The Constitution does not say that government shall decree the right to keep and bear arms. The Constitution says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
I am a minute man. I am the guardian of America, armed and free. For we knew it will always be the citizen who is the guardian of America, armed and free.
Welcome to America Armed and Free, a program dedicated to preserving your God-granted, constitutionally guaranteed individual right to keep and bear arms in defense of self or state, understanding that the citizens are the militia. This program is produced by Charles Heller and is not endorsed by anyone who isn't pro-choice on freedom.
We are the guardians of America, armed and free.
Indeed, we are the guardians of America, armed and free. And in this, we have, two in a row that people did not call in when they're supposed to. So we were going to look at the EPA endangerment finding on emissions for cars and trucks. And one of the interesting things is that in 2009, I believe it was, the Obamaist administration declared a policy from EPA that found that that basically CO2 was a pollutant, and they wanted to reduce emissions and get them down to darn near zero. And I think they called it net zero by 2030. That by 2030 they wanted to make it so that all cars and trucks didn't emit any hydrocarbons into the air, which is a totally unrealistic goal, and it has a damaging effect on our ability to be able to. It basically allowed the mandate for electric cars. That mandate has been rescinded by the Trump administration. However, what they're doing now, and I think wisely, with the EPA, is that the EPA has published a ruling to rescind that 2008 or 2009 ruling that CO2 was a pollutant, and that was the basis for all of the EPA's authority to declare that certain types of vehicle, that gas-powered vehicles, were going to be slowly done away with. And I think it's a really good idea that is happening. We were going to have Craig Rucker with CFECT about that, and he said, Rucker says, for years the EPA has been wielding an endangerment finding to dub the automotive, airline, and industrial sectors of our economy with little regard as pollutants, with little regard to the impact it has on citizens. The EPA's announcement a couple days ago that it plans to remove the Biden-era tailpipe emissions rule from light, medium, and heavy-duty cars and trucks is a welcome first step towards climate sanity, an extremely positive action for American business, and the American business and consumers should applaud. Craig Recker is the co-founder of CFACT and currently serves as its president, and he's widely heralded as a leader in free market environment and think tank community. And Rucker has been on with us before, so I'm not sure why he's not on with us now. But in any case, we're going to move on and go to other topics, seeing as how Mr. Rucker is not available. And if you want to call in, it's going to be an open forum hour at 520-790-2040. And you can ask any question you like about right to keep and bear arms stuff, because that's exactly what we're going to move on to. And let's see. We are going to move on to, yeah, how to harden your home. This is actually by Second Call Self-Defense. Second Call Self-Defense is a organization that provides self-defense insurance for people who carry a firearm for self-defense. And they're pretty proactive about it, and they're starting to get into more educational stuff, which I encourage right to keep and bear arms organizations to do. They're not, broadly speaking, a right to keep and bear arms organization. They're a commercial operation, but they are a nonprofit, and their idea is to insure people so that if they are forced to use deadly force or the threat of deadly force in self-defense, they have a legal strategy that they have the insurance if something goes horribly wrong, happens with them, that they're forced to threaten deadly force. And it says what you can do to harden your home. Let's see if I can expand this a little bit. Your home is your sanctuary, but unfortunately it's also a potential target. Whether it's a burglar looking to steal your assets, or a home invader with violent intent, or a criminal who chose the wrong house at the wrong time, being unprepared for these scenarios can have tragic consequences. That's why hardening your home should be a top priority for anyone serious about self-defense and personal safety. This article covers some practical steps on how to harden your home against intruders. From landscaping tactics to reinforced entryways, you'll learn how to layer your defenses, and even the best physical security isn't complete without legal protection for the plan such as Second Call Self-Defense offers. Why hardening your home matters. The FBI reported 813,353 burglaries in 2023, the most recent year for which data is available. And the National Incident-Based Reporting System is what reported on it from the FBI. That means that a burglary occurs on average every 38 seconds in the United States. Just over half of all burglaries target residential properties. Daytime residential burglaries are most common, accounting for the largest share at 28%. Now, why that's important? That's important because a lot of us, since the pandemic, have been working at home and may be there when a burglary occurs. Back to the article. This may be because many criminals avoid the risk of encountering occupants at night. After all, even burglars don't want to get shot. However, with more people now, which is what I was just saying, more people now working at home, the risk of a daytime break-in is becoming a growing concern for a wider segment of the population. It would be nearly impossible and impractical to make a home 100% impenetrable. However, the goal is to make your house, not to make it a fortress and an impenetrable fortress. It's to make your house less attractive of a target and buy yourself precious time if you are home when a criminal decides to target your house. harden homes, deter criminals, reduce response times, reduced response times by police have increased the chances of surviving an incident. So it's up to you to do it yourself. Layer one, exterior perimeter defense. There are several things you can do to the exterior of your home to harden it. Fencing and gates. A clearly defined perimeter serves as both a psychological and physical barrier to criminals. A tall, well-constructed fence increases privacy and makes it harder for intruders to surveil your property or plan an approach. It also slows them down as they can't simply walk through it. Be sure to secure gates with locks to prevent easy access. While wood fences offer more privacy, keep in mind they can also create blind spots or hiding places for intruders. I'll also point out that if you have locks on your interior, on your gates to get outside, it behooves you to always carry your keys with you on your person if you're walking around. It's not TMI, but I have a bathrobe that has a belt loop on it, and that belt loop has a carabiner clip, and that carabiner clip contains a set of house keys and a very small multi-tool on it, so that whenever I walk around the house, even if all I've got on is a robe, I've got a way of getting in and out the locks. The other thing you should do is your locks should be common keyed. There should be one key that goes to your front door, your outer door, your inner door, and your back door, the same thing. And if it's a lock that somebody can reach through and open, it needs to be a double key cylinder. In other words, it needs to have a lock on both sides. Now, that's a problem if it's a lock that you have to go in and that you go in and out of the house with. Because you don't, in the event of a fire, you don't want to make it so that you need a key to get out, unless you have that key or committed to having that key with you in all states of dress. So for some of you, that's going to mean putting your house key on a chain and putting the chain around your neck, so that if the only thing you have on is that key, you at least have the key on you so you don't get trapped in your own house if you have double key cylinder locks. That is something I have been practicing for years, and I got to tell you, it has really come in handy. One embarrassing time back in the married days, when the ex did not know that I was still in the house, went out of the house and locked it while I was outside in the yard to pick something up, and I'd walked out in my skivvies, and it turned out that the door was locked, and the fact that I had a key around my neck is the only thing that kept me from an extremely embarrassing incident, and it worked. All right, back to the article. Darkness hides, light reveals. How are we doing for time? We're coming up on the break. I got time for one more paragraph. Darkness hides, light reveals. While many burglaries and home invasions happen during the day when homeowners are at work, plenty still occur at night. Using the cover of darkness to conceal movement. Take the night away from them. Install exterior lighting that eliminates those dark hiding spots. Motion-activated lights not only save energy, but also trigger a strong physical response, like watching rats scatter when the lights come on. Make sure to place lights around all entry points and use dusk-to-dawn lights on the corners of the home. There are plenty of solar-powered options available, which are ideal for areas without outlets and are easy to install. And at this point, I am going to run our first break of this hour, and we will be back.
This is Herman Cain, and if it has a muzzle, a nozzle, or a blade, you'll find your topic on America Armed and Free. Sundays, right after Liberty Watch.
Swap shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
Don Wells, is there anything you missed on the island?
Oh, well, actually, what I really missed, there we were with nothing to do. What I missed most was the swap shop. I mean, what fun we'd have had. I don't know how we'd have gotten a hold of you, but we'd have tried.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
I'm Oliver North, and like you, I'm listening on America Armed and Free with Charles Heller. Civilian disarmament is an essential precedent for every dictator who engages in mass murder.
Hi, Mark Levin here. America Armed and Free. Sounds like a good title for a book. Congratulations, Charles.
Imagine that this is your daughter.
What do you want?
Now you get to decide how this scene ends. Or...
Stop, Earl!
Some misinformed people want to take away your daughter's choice between rape and self-defense. We're pro-choice on self-defense. Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, jpfo.org.
Yeah, they're gonna save the planet, but not your liberty. 'Cause when they're talking endangered species, they ain't talking about you and me. Where's Paul Revere when you need him? Guess he's spinning in his grave. 'Cause the green coats are a-coming, boys. Are we still in the land of the brave? Hey, hey.
And back to America Armed and Free. We are discussing hardening our houses, what you can do in terms of deterring burglary. And let's see. Landscaping is security. Like fencing, landscaping can also be both physical and psychological barriers. Thick bushes near or around property boundary may serve as a deterrent to criminals, especially if they're thorny bushes. Thick bushes may also prevent criminals from trying to enter through a window. However, you got to keep them trimmed so you can see, and keep them trimmed below the window height so you can still see out the window. Thorny bushes like roses under windows are also a good option. So, by the way, are cholla cactus. Boy, is that a good barrier. But there's also a danger with cholla cactus. They're called walking cactus for a reason. They can escape their parameters, and you can end up with them on you. So it behooves you, if you have cholla on your property, to carry a small pliers, maybe a little Knipex pliers, or maybe a multi-tool, can be a very small multi-tool that folds up and can even be keychain size, but is good for removing those thorns from your person. Layer 2, surveillance and monitoring. Security cameras. Modern security cameras are affordable, high quality, easy to install, and can integrate with your Wi-Fi to provide instant live feeds through your phone and web apps. These also are hackable, and they pose a security risk in and of themselves. Most systems offer local or cloud storage, allowing homeowners to review past footage if an incident occurs, which is an excellent idea. Cameras also, but I caution you, if you have... your family likes to engage in certain activities outdoors, they're going to be on camera, and so remember that as well. Cameras also serve as a visual deterrent, letting criminals know they're being watched and recorded. In addition to a wired outdoor camera, battery-powered, solar-powered, and indoor cameras are widely available and budget-friendly. Be careful where you put the indoor cameras. Once again, same caution as before. Doorbell cameras are especially popular. They're easy to install and, like other security cameras, are typically motion activated or triggered by someone pressing the doorbell. When that happens, the homeowner gets an instant alert through the app. Alarm systems. Home alarm systems serve three critical functions. By the way, if you've got one of those doorbell camera apps, when someone rings the doorbell, even if you're not there, you can answer the door over your phone. And they have no idea whether you're home or not in most cases. They may be able to figure it out by the number of cars in the driveway or something like that. But if you're like me, there's always a car at home in the driveway, whether I'm there or whether I'm not. That's not a bad thing to do. Even if you have to buy an old dead car to put there, as long as it doesn't look like an old dead car, as long as it looks like somebody's actually home, not a bad idea to have a spare car or let your neighbor park one of their extra cars in your driveway. Makes it look like somebody's home. So, alarm systems. Home alarm systems serve three critical functions. Alerts the homeowner and potentially the local police. Don't bet on that in Tucson. Scares off the intruder upon hearing the alarm. And potentially deters burglaries and home invasions. A good security system doesn't just sound an alarm, it alerts the police. Now, you got to be careful with that in Tucson, because if you have an alarm that's a false alarm, the Tucson police are going to charge you for it. It's fraught with a lot of dangers to have an alarm that goes directly to the police. The only advantage of an alarm that goes to police is if it has a panic button. If there is a home invasion and you can press the panic button and it can call the police and summon them in the event that there's an intruder in your home, that has value to it and may be treated as a priority call by the Tucson police, but they may or may not have the manpower to answer it. Anyway, back to the article. Many monitoring services will attempt to contact the homeowner to verify it's not a false alarm, helping reduce unnecessary dispatches. Most systems also provide yard signs and window decals, which serve as visible deterrents to would-be criminals. Other devices. Other devices that can be installed on the exterior of your home include motion sensors. Simply just sense motion and can send a notification to a Wi-Fi hub, web app, or phone app. There are also motion detectors which will set off an alarm inside your house. They transmit on a frequency that the alarm inside can hear. Now, I used to use those for my house, and in my bedroom I would know when someone walked up the driveway. I would hear an alert. Problem was, when the trees move with the wind, it's enough to set off the alarm, and that alarm kept going off and going off and going off until I decided it was more trouble than it's worth to have that particular alarm. But your mileage may vary. If you didn't have trees on the property that are blowing back and forth in the wind, that certainly would not apply. Motion sensors simply just sense motion and can send a notification to a Wi-Fi hub, web app, or phone app. These would be likely placed near doors, near outbuildings, and along the driveway. Glass break sensors, which notify the homeowner of breaking glass. These are usually inexpensive, and as with other sensors, they connect to a phone app or a web app via Wi-Fi. These are common on windows in the home that the homeowner may or may not hear being broken into, and especially in outbuildings. By the way, folks, if you have any questions or comments on this during the program, you can feel free to call in and interrupt at, or not interrupt, but add to, at 520-790-2040. Layer 3, entry point reinforcement. The primary points for reinforcement of your home are doors and windows. Doors and window frames. Burglars often enter through the front door, as it may seem the easiest way to get in, and from just not being locked. This is an essential element of your home to harden. Here are ways to reinforce the doorways of your home. Install solid core door or metal doors and avoid hollow core doors. Reinforce the door frame with a metal door jamb reinforcement kit. That's really important because a lot of times when a door gets kicked in, it's not the door that gets kicked in, it's the frame that breaks around it. I had a burglary in my workshop, and that's what happened. They kicked it in, the door wasn't damaged, but the frame was broken. I've since reinforced the frame and put a security iron door on the outside of it. Haven't had any problems. America Armed and Free. Hi, Ingrid. Go ahead.
This involves apartment doors or condominium doors.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, many kinds of doors, now that I think about it. How does a pick operate in getting a door open that it's not supposed to be opened by a stranger?
You mean a lock pick?
Yeah, a lock pick.
Well, there's pins in most locks. Not all locks are designed this way, but most are. There's pins in them. And when you run the pick into the lock, it pushes the pins out of the way, pushes them up the same way a key would, one at a time, as you work your way through it. And if you know what you're doing in picking a lock, it can go pretty quickly, and it simply defeats the lock.
How can you get a lock without pins in it? Or is that the only way they operate?
No, there are some that are relatively unpickable. I'm trying to think of the name. The name of the type, I think there's one called a DOM key, D-O-M. They're relatively expensive, but they don't have ordinary teeth on them like a key does. They're round and they have like dimples in them. Ask your locksmith about a DOM key, D-O-M key, or other types of less defeatable locks. They're usually pretty expensive, but Bruce's Lock and Key sells them. And I'm sure any other locksmith in town that you can call. But Bruce's I particularly trust. I've known Bruce for 35, 36 years. And 795-7516 is their number.
Oh, wait,
795-7516 is their number. They're open basic
Bruce.
Business
Bruce's.
Hours. Yeah.
I just had a lock changed again. And lo and behold, the same character is, again, invading my home and stealing all kinds of stuff with his friends. And it's a condominium. And so that's why I talk about the apartment-like door.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a nightmare. And I just had a lock changed. And the person's still coming in.
Mm. Well, and, one thing you can do is have a motion camera inside and get some good pictures of them and turn that over to police and be very insistent about the way they enforce it.
Be very insistent. There's an implication there. and I think I know where you're coming from.
Right. Well, they're overburdened with cases and underburdened with personnel to handle them. So the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's that simple. I mean, it's just a pure math question.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. America Arm and Free, Gab, you're on the air.
Multi-lock makes a great lock that's virtually unpickable.
Oh.
It's not inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You can get it at Roadrunner Lock and Key.
Hmm.
And that's the lock that I use for my office because it's virtually unpickable.
Say the name of it again.
Multi-lock.
Multi-lock. And is it because of the...
A good Israeli company.
Hmm. It runs on the gefilte fish key system.
Exactly. It's there for you 24/6, 316.
Multi-lock. It's M-U-L-T-L-O-C-K. No.
M-U-L-T-I.
No, not T-I. M-U-L-T-L-O-C-K.
Correct.
So, let's see. Multi-lock. So, M-U-L-T-L-O-C-K. And new multi-lock high-security cylinder platforms. Oh, yeah. That has the dimples in the key, a lot like the Ford Transit Connect key that is on my Ford. And let's see. Multi-key lock metal system. Multi-lock, multi-500 knob grade. Yeah. This is a pretty interesting. Here's a lock for your hockey puck padlock that's almost impossible to cut. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff on there. Wonder how much. The key is $23. Lock is $250. Oh, my word. They're not cheap, are they? So.
No, but they're not getting in.
No, here's one that's $465, and the padlock is $195. Oh, my God. They love their stuff, but like you say, they're not getting in. So.
Exactly.
That's a really good call. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And it opens up a line for you in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios, and that was Wilkinson. And here's his ads.
Welcome to Monoral Radio, where we sing in black and white.
Swap shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the swap shop. Let's listen.
JD.
I just wanted to give you some insight onto our friend Mike at Perfection.
He's always got lots of new creative stuff.
I don't really listen for you anymore. It is for his new spots.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
Now, I'm the kind of man who'd not harm a mouse, but if I catch somebody breaking in my house, I got a 12-gauge shotgun waiting on the other side. So don't go pushing me against my will. I don't want to have to fight you for the darn show wheel. If you don't want trouble, then you better just pass me on.
Helps to turn the mic on. A little bit of the great Charlie Daniels and Windows XP. What do you have to tell us?
Yes, Charles. First, I like all the security measures I'm hearing. But to me, a good security measure, and these are living creatures, I will refer to them as the force multiplier. A canine, a dog, is an excellent security move. Police will recommend them. They are great. They're sentries. They're great when you go out. I walk with my dog. My dog is getting very big. And people, when your dog is well-heeled and right with you and walking in unison and you guys are kind of, you know, melded together, it's intimidating. So I like that aspect. And then, and see, that's just the, to me, the dog is the cherry on the sundae for your security measures. And Charles, if you want brutal home defense, I did see this where police department recommended it. If you're desperate, give them the Hornet spray right to the face, buddy. Right in the kisser.
Yeah.
And that will work. And it's, but only if you're in your garage, probably.
Well, here's the thing. The idea is to stay out of contact with people. I know people who have people. I know callers who've told me various circumstances that happened where someone has come up their driveway or someone has come to the door, and their instinct is to protect their home, which isn't a bad instinct, but you don't do it by contact with an unknown person because, you know, you may have a gun on you, right? Great. Wonderful. It doesn't mean just because you have a gun means you're the only one that brought a gun to the incident. And rather than making yourself a target, it is so much better to, if you're going to confront somebody, to confront them through a barrier rather than in person, face to face. It just makes sense. The other thing is, if you've got a dog and whoever it is that comes to the door is trying to talk to you and the dog is making so much noise, you can't talk to them and they can't talk to you. If that doesn't tell the potential intruder that they're facing a lethal threat, then nothing will.
Agreed. Can I recommend a guest?
Please.
The one guy's law enforcement. I recently became aware of this podcast. I do believe he was Baltimore police for 20 years, and he has a great show, and he even finds any cases of Second Amendment issues, and they explore that as well, and he has good guests on, and his show is called Active Self-Protection, and the gentleman's name is John Correa.
I know John Correa. I got his phone number in my phone. There you go.
What about Mike Willever?
I've heard that name too.
He's on with him on the show. Charles, it's such a great show. If you could get them on together, that would you be in hog heaven. But anyway, that's great.
I've known John from Gun Rights Policy Conference for years. He is he's a former Navy nuke tech. In fact, he was in the decommissioning crew of USS Enterprise. He was in charge of the all eight reactors in the senior NCO on Enterprise. And it would be a difficult time for me, strictly not wandering off into nuclear engineering with him and having him on. But it would be, that's a really good suggestion. Yeah, I've known John. I should text him. I should text him right now before I forget. So anyway, yeah.
Okay, and everyone, keep your head on a swivel in this town because the streets, they're not too friendly right now. All right, Charles, bless you.
Yep, thank you. And that opens a line for you in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios at 520-790-2040. I respect constructive criticism and guest suggestions. I call it producing on the hoof. And if you have a guest idea for me, please, by all means, feel free to do it on the air at 520-790-2040 or off the air at charles@libertywatchradio.com. All right, back to this. Back to the article on reinforcing your house. Doors and frames. Going back over some territory we covered a little bit, burglars often enter the front door as it may be the easiest way in and may be unlocked. This is an essential element of your home to harden. Here are some ways to reinforce doorways in your home. Install a solid core or metal core door. Avoid hollow core doors. Reinforce the door frame with a metal door jamb and reinforcement kit. Replace standard hinges with hinges that have security pins, which prevent the door from being removed. Use grade 1 deadbolts, which offer maximum strength. And again, Eb had that idea about the multi-lock, MULTLOCK. Very good locks, rather pricey, but worth it. What's your life worth? Use 3-inch screws and strike plates and hinges for deeper anchoring of the door into the frame. Use multiple deadbolt locks. And add a locking storm door, which adds another layer a burglar would have to penetrate. Smart locks can also be incorporated, allowing locking and unlocking. Remember, a smart lock can be hacked by a very high-tech burglar, but I don't think most burglars are high-tech. Only the people who are trying to do something to you specifically would be that high-tech, so I have no fear of a remote locking or unlocking door, one that has like a remote to it. Windows. All of your home's windows should have functioning locks, but not all locks are created equal. Some are practically worthless, so make sure yours are quality ones that can't be easily defeated. If needed, upgrade with aftermarket options like wind locks or pin locks to prevent windows from being slid or lifted past the lock. Other ways to harden your windows include installing bars or grates, especially on ground-level windows. Makes them extremely difficult to breach. Just be mindful not to block the escape routes in the case of a fire. Now, here's what I do with mine. I don't like that ugly bolt. By the way, you need to test the bolt. Once a year, you need to test the release to make sure that the window release is still functioning if you ever have to get out the window. And so I do that on the 1st of January and the 4th of July. I test everything. I take down all the guns one at a time. I clean them and oil them, make sure they're lubed, they're not rusting. I prophylactically replace every battery and every smoke detector throughout the house. I test the CO2 detectors. It's a whole day's work on July 4th and January 1st, with the exception of reading the Declaration of Independence in the morning on July the 4th. It's a whole day's work. I'm exhausted by the end of the day on the 4th of July from all the stuff I have to do, but it's important to do, which is cleaning the guns, checking, replacing all the smoke detector batteries in the house, checking the CO2 detector. I only have one across from the furnace, and currently the furnace isn't in use anyway, but I still have the CO2 leak detector. And I think it also checks for any propane leaks there may be, because I have gas stove, I switched. But when all this nonsense about electrifying anything came, I took the opportunity to buy a gas stove. So I have my detectors detect everything in the house that may be a danger to breathing. And I test them twice a year. And then another thing you can do is, so what I was saying about those releases is test them once or twice a year. But then I don't like the ugly look of that bolt with a handle sticking through the wall. So all of mine, the releases on them where anybody would see them or where I see them in my bedroom, for instance, I've hung a nice mirror over the handle. So in order for me to get to the handle, all I have to do is stick my hand behind the mirror and turn the lever. Or if I wanted to, I could pick the mirror up, set it down on the floor, and then turn the handle. Then the handle would be apparent and I can test it, or I can get to it. All right, back to this. Applying security film to reinforce the glass will make it much harder to break. And if someone does break a window, the glass won't just drop out. It'll still stay there because the film will hold it. This is also true with your car. If you have window film on your car and there is an event where the glass breaks, it's not going to shatter and go all over the place. It's going to pretty much stay in place except where whatever it was to break it, if it came through, comes through. Upgrading to laminated glass or polycarbonate windows, which are significantly more impact resistant than standard glass. And if you get strong enough polycarbonate windows, they become bullet resistant. But those are expensive. Layer 4, interior protection and response. Do you have a home defense plan in the event a home invader does defeat your hardened home? If not, you can learn more about developing a defense plan on SecondCallSelfDefense.org. Again, SecondCallSelfDefense.org. Additional steps you can take inside your home include interior security cameras that can be placed throughout the interior of your home, motion sensors that can be integrated with a security system to trigger an alarm in the event an intruder was able to sneak past the doors and windows that have sensors. They call that nighttime mode. And you can have only certain sensors on so that, for instance, if it's an unused room and someone moves through the unused room, it'll set off the alarm immediately. It sets off the instant mode. You can create a safe room. This could simply be a room with a reinforced door or possibly a much more defensive room with reinforced walls and doors. I have one of those in my house. And it is not impenetrable, but it would certainly give me a lot more time. And it also means that someone has to walk through a kill funnel to get to anybody that's inside that room. If you want to know what a kill funnel is, look it up. It's an interesting concept. A number of vendors sell and install safe rooms. They are considered storm shelters, but could should be used to protect yourself and loved ones against criminals inside your home. Basically, it's a reinforced structure within the house that is very hard to penetrate. Not impossible, not undefeatable, especially with the use of fire and smoke, but less likely to get you injured because there's another layer between you and the potential bad guy. Back in a little bit to finish this up on America Armed and Free.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
This is Caroline.
Happy chickens.
We have a 5-acre horse property for sale.
They're participating in the program.
Please make that part of the package.
A ranch with chickens. They might call that the chicken ranch.
I've been called worse.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
There's a system in the backwoods. There's a way of doing things. If you break in, we don't leave all of the fun to the police. I just heard a bunch of racket coming from the back screen door. Step one foot in this house, son, you've already blown it. Text 20 minutes for the police to find my house. But I'll have you gone in less than one, cause out here I am 911. 911.
And talking about doing things pre being your own 911, including hardening your house. Additional steps you can take inside your home. Interior security cameras can be placed throughout your home. Motion sensors can be integrated into your system. Other considerations. Self-defense in home comes with serious legal consequences. Most states recognize some form of castle doctrine, which allows you to use deadly force against an intruder without a duty to retreat. Stand your ground laws extend that protection beyond the home, removing the duty to retreat in public places if you're lawfully present and reasonably believe force is immediately necessary. Some states combine both doctrines, while others still impose a duty to retreat when it's safe to do so. Knowing your state laws is critical because the legal consequences of using force can vary widely. That is very true. This is something that's crucial for people to know. Warning shots are generally illegal and never a great idea. You're still firing a live round, and there's no telling where it could go. It might hit a loved one, a neighbor, or an innocent bystander. Now, let me tell you this. If you're inside the city limits of Tucson, and let's say somebody breaks into your house, and you say, get out of my house, I have a gun, and you point the gun at them, and they take a step towards you, and you don't want to shoot them, so you fire at their feet in front of them, or you fire to the side of them. Well, if you fire to the side of them, and it misses them, and exceeds your house, and hits anyone outside, it's ARS 13401. It's called the unavailability of the justification defense. And what it says is, if you injure an innocent party who wasn't trying to hurt you, you have no self-defense claim for firing the shot. Because the person who got hurt or killed wasn't trying to hurt you, but you hurt them. You have no defense if you injure an innocent bystander. Now, I've heard some people actually call this program and rail against that. And I don't know why they would, because you have the authority to use force against someone to defend yourself, but you don't have the authority to injure innocent people. You don't. We absolutely have no authority to injure an innocent person. There is no defense for it, legally or, for that matter, morally. There's no defense. So that's one problem with warning shots. The second problem with warning shots is if you're inside the city limit and you fire a shot not designed to hit anybody but designed to scare them, that is by definition a misuse of lethal force. Because lethal force, if you're intending to use it, has to be used in a way that could be lethal but is likely to achieve the result of stopping the threat. Remember, you don't use lethal force to be lethal. You use lethal force to stop the threat. If it becomes lethal, you should not be held liable for it if you're justified in using the force, but the point, either civilly or criminally or civilly. However, If you're not justified, a number of consequences can issue forth. First of all, if you're inside a city limit, it's ARS 13-4107. Which is firing a gun within the city limits, which is not done in self-defense, licensed pest control, on a licensed range, or underground, or with the permission of the chief law enforcement officer, or with blanks. Those are the six exemptions to it. But if you fire a live firearm within the city limits that's not directly intended to stop someone who's attacking you, it is a class 4 felony. Furthermore, if you're in a home, inside any home, whether it's city or county, and there's other people in the home and you fire a warning shot, you can be charged under 13-1201, which is endangerment. And endangerment, if it's done with a deadly weapon or a dangerous device, is a class 6 felony. It's felony endangerment. And you could be charged with disturbing the peace under 13-2904, paragraph 6, which is a, if done with a deadly instrument, is a felony. So firing a warning shot at somebody, you could be charged in some cases with at least 3 felonies. Not to mention, if you weren't legally justified in actually shooting the person, you could also be charged with aggravated assault. So there's 4 serious felonies for which you could do more than 10 years in prison for firing a warning shot. Do you still think they're a good idea? If you do, you need to read ARS Chapter 4 and understand the law. Because if you don't understand that a warning shot is a bad idea, you are letting your emotions overcome both reason and law. And that's not a good position for a gun owner to be in. If your emotion is higher than your reason, it's time to put your guns in your safe, because you're not safe around guns. It's that simple. Or if you're in any way inhibited, if there's some medication you're taking or something you're ingesting that lowers your level of cognition, put the gun away. It causes problems for you, no matter what it is, even if it's a prescription medicine. If it affects your judgment, you need to be conscious of that before you take it and make your carry decisions appropriate to that medication or substance, whatever it happens to be. That's enough of a soapbox about warning shots. Booby traps are illegal. Even if intended to stop criminals, they can easily injure innocent people or law enforcement responding to a break-in or emergency. Do not booby trap the house. Generally speaking, in Arizona, you cannot protect personal property with deadly force. If someone is trying to steal your toolbox, you cannot legally point a gun at them. If someone's trying to steal your car, you cannot legally point a gun at them unless your child is in it or they're threatening you directly with the car, like they're going to drive it into you. Then you could use deadly force, possibly. But you've got to understand the laws about force, and booby traps are not legal. Finally, posting aggressive signs like "We shoot first" may seem like a deterrent, but they can be used against you in court to establish premeditation in something you do or your intent to do deadly harm. If you use deadly force, your intent is not to cleanse society or gain retribution or satisfy anger. None of those are legal justifications for the use of deadly force or even the threat of deadly force. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what's actually true. And in court, if it comes to court, you will never be able to fully convey the emotion you were feeling to a jury. This is why using reason in self-defense and training so that you overcome some of your urges in self-defense, in shall we say, retributive self-defense, are canceled by your training. Lastly, we get to the importance of self-defense legal protection. Hardening your home with strong doors, security systems, dogs, layered defenses are smart steps. But if someone still breaks in or comes in intentionally to harm you and you're forced to defend yourself, the real battle may begin after the threat is over. If your attacker didn't have a gun, doesn't really matter in Arizona if your attacker had a gun or didn't, if they intended you harm inside your home, but outside your home, it does make a difference. The aftermath can be even much more complicated. Even if you were completely justified, the police still can arrest you. A prosecutor might still file charges. And before you can explain your side of the story, you could be sitting in jail waiting for someone to post bail. In many states, bail for self-defense shootings can range upwards from $50,000 and can easily go over $1 million. Even if your attacker had only a hammer or nothing visible at all. Hi, Craig. The program's over. I'm sorry.
Oh, man. I am so sorry.
It's okay. We'll reschedule. I have to wind it down. I'm on another topic. I appreciate your call, and it happens to the best of us, and don't worry about it, okay? We'll talk another time. I gotta get back to my audience. Thanks. That was the guest who doesn't know what time it is in Arizona. That's okay. Ask yourself, do you have cash ready for bail bond if you're arrested? Can your spouse or family navigate the process without you? Are you okay spending days or longer in jail while everyone tries to figure it out? This isn't a movie. There's no refund if the charges are dropped. No apologies. No guarantee you'll get the money back. That's why self-defense legal insurance protection. That's why self-defense legal protection is important. It isn't optional. One company that does that, Second Call Self-Defense, provides bail bond payments up front, not later, not reimbursed. It actually provides the bail payment, immediate access to a knowledgeable self-defense attorney, a 24/7 response, and the moment you call, and legal, emotional, and financial protection when everything's on the line. Harden your home and your legal defenses, and don't face it alone. Your home should be a place of safety and not an easy target. By hardening your property with layered physical defenses, surveillance, smart security upgrades, you reduce your risk and gain precious time in the event of an incursion. But no matter how secure your home is, there's always a possibility that you'll need to defend yourself. Preparing legally is just as important as preparing physically. Consider Second Call Self-Defense. It ensures you're not alone in that environment. And I do have their protection. There are others on the market which are good. Do your research. By all means, look at all the different options that are out there. Another thing is, there are some tremendous controversies in legal self-defense insurance. Oops. There are some tremendous controversies in legal self-defense organizations and companies and attorneys. Look on the internet. Look for legal self-defense insurance controversy, or look online to Attorneys on Retainer. The name of that company is attorneysforfreedom.com. Look on their YouTube channel and look at some of the controversies there are over that. It is very important to be a well-informed consumer. And there are a lot of different plans out there. Decide what's best for you. Look at the difference between legal representation and insurance. There's a huge gap there. So I encourage you all to be vigorous, not violent, vigilant, not vituperative. In Liberty, I'm Charles Heller.
Let grace and truth lead us on to victory. Let grace and truth lead us on to victory. Let grace and truth lead us on to victory.
AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson.